Thank you. Welcome to Carpenter Shop International Church. We build people. CSIC is a church whose mission is to love all people, win them to Christ, build them in discipleship, and send them out to fulfill their destiny. At CSIC, our core values are inclusion. We thrive on diversity. Everyone matters. It's exciting. Worship, discipleship, fellowship, evangelism, care. CSIC loves people, all people. Hashtag love win, build sin. Check us out on Facebook at Carpenter Shop International Church or on YouTube at CSIC Media. Or join us in person on Sundays at 10 a.m. or Wednesdays at 7 p.m.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Is anybody excited about Jesus this morning? Can we stand and worship? This morning we just want to tell God how great he is, how mighty he is, how awesome he is. Does anybody believe that this morning, that we serve a God who's great? Thank you, Jesus.
Oh,
I dare everybody in this room to lift up your worship to a God who is great, to a God who is mighty, to a God who is holy. What could happen in this room this morning if we all just poured out our praise to King Jesus, not because we deserve to, not because, not even because of the miracles he's done, but just because he's so good, just because he's so faithful. This song declares that all the earth will shout his praise. The Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. And so since we're here, while we have a choice, and all the earth will shout your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Receive the worship of your people, and all the time on
great are you, great are you. God is so great. The Holy Spirit, I feel it, is so, it's crazy in this place right now. It's something that we can't explain, but it's an encounter we have with the Lord. And we give Him praise.
Come rest on us, as the Spirit was moving over the waters.
call out to him. Just begin to praise him. Just begin to praise. Jesus, worthy, Jesus.
Our eyes right where we are. Come on, go ahead and give God praise. Come on and just lift up a praise to him because he's worthy. Would you just close your eyes right now in this moment and just meditate on the Lord for just a second. And I want you to think about this. I want you to picture this in your mind. Genesis chapter 1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Picture that. Picture it. See it in your mind's eye. God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and void. There was no shape to it. Nothing there. Just the raw materials of creation. And the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the deep. The Spirit of God hovered over the waters, over that which was formless and void, that which had no shape, that which just had the materials necessary. Everything was there. God created it. God created it before he shaped it. And I want to encourage you this morning, as you're picturing that in your mind, now I want you to begin to picture your own life. And picture the raw materials that God has placed inside of you.
the things that He has given you, the blessings that He has placed in your life. Some of us, sometimes we feel like we don't have a direction, or we feel like we're going somewhere but we don't have what we need, or we feel like things aren't going exactly the way that we want. But I want to encourage you this morning that God has given you everything that you need. God has created you with a purpose in mind. God has something in store for you that He wants to shape into a divine destiny. And so as we sing that again this morning, I want us to imagine God taking our lives and shaping them into something beautiful, something that He is creating, something that He wants to bless. Because it says, God said, let there be light. So when God spoke, everything came just like it was supposed to be. Come on, let's sing that out again. Sing it out. Come on. Sing it again. Holy Spirit, rest on us. Come and rest in our lives, Father. Would you come and shape us, God? Do something beautiful in us. Do something beautiful in our lives. Sing it again. Holy Spirit, rest on us today. We're hungry for you. Move in us, oh God. Holy Spirit. Welcome you. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. Come on, sing it.
Holy Spirit, come rest on us.
Have your way. Have your way.
You're all we want.
Holy Spirit. And do something new in us today. You're all we want. One more time, Holy Spirit. Come on, just stay right there in that moment. Holy Spirit's moving right now. He's moving right now. Jesus. 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 Worship you, Holy Spirit. We give you praise in this moment. Holy Spirit, we magnify your name. We magnify your name, Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ. Jesus. 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 We thank you for your presence, Holy Spirit. It's so strong in this room right now. Moving in hearts. Come, come, come. Holy Spirit, come. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, we love you. We love you, Holy Spirit. Moving all over this room. We thank you that you hear our prayers this morning. That you're resting on us even now as we've asked you. You're resting on us. We thank you that you're a God who hears us. A God who listens to us. Responds to us. Move in us, Holy Spirit. Oh, we welcome you. That Spirit is hovering over us right now. Don't miss this moment. Don't miss it. Come on, just continue to stay right here. Stay right here. If this is new for you, I want you to just open up your heart to what God is doing. All you have to do is say, touch me, Lord. Move in me, Holy Spirit. Because I feel him right now. This is a holy moment. A sacred moment. We bless the name of Jesus. We bless the name of Jesus. Worthy are you, Lord. Jesus, come. Come, Holy Spirit. Let your presence touch us once again. God, we thank you for making us feel safe in your presence. Father, we thank you for the way that you love us, the way that you hold us in your arms, God, that you always meet us faithfully when we ask. Thank you for resting on us today, Holy Spirit. We love you, Lord, and we give you all the glory and the honor and the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is good. You can be seated. Wow. I love it when the Holy Spirit comes and interrupts our plans, don't you? Because, you know, this is his service after all. It's not my service. It's not your service. It's not carpenter shop service. This is a service that belongs to the Father. Amen? We came here to glorify God today. Do you believe that? We came to glorify him. That's why we come. And so we're always ready for the Holy Spirit to move and change what we have planned. Well, I want to welcome you to Carpenter Shop Church. If this is your first time with us, we'd like to meet you personally in the foyer after the service. Come and visit us at the Welcome Center so that we can give you a gift and we can get to know you a little bit better. If you're tuning in online, thank you so much for joining us. Or if you're tuning in by television, wherever you are in the world, we're glad that you've chosen to worship with us today. We do have a couple of announcements. We'll have a slide for this next week, but there is a concert coming up, Sanctus Real and Unspoken. You may have heard these groups on the radio. We'll be right here. Somebody say right here at Carpenter Shop Church. Come on, are you excited for that? These are world-class artists. You can't get this everywhere. And so, but it's going to be right here in the little town of Ahoskie, North Carolina. Somebody say, we got big things going on in Ahoskie. Amen? That's March 14th, 7 p.m. It's a Thursday night. We'll have ticket information for you next week. But go ahead, put it on your calendar right now. If you got your phone with you, go ahead. I give you permission. I give you permission. I know we're in church. Pull it out right now. March 14th, 7 p.m., Sanctus Real and Unspoken. You don't want to miss it. Also, this Saturday, Nerf and Nachos with the Kids Ministry. That's at 4 o'clock, I believe, on this Saturday. So kids, parents, if your kids have Nerf guns, they can feel free to bring them. There will be nachos and a good time. And so make sure you come out for that. And we have a few video announcements for you coming to you on the screen.
Welcome, Michael Rowan.
In our church, there were little indicators that it was about to get crazy. Every once in a while, when the Holy Ghost would get to moving, Eleanor would go like this. You'd go, da, 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 da.
Kingdom builders and showing you exactly what that is helping us do, freeing people from slavery, digging water wells. But you may be asking, how do I give to Kingdom Builders? If I want to give every week or every month, what is the easiest way to do that? And we would suggest, of course you can write a check, but we would suggest using PushPay. When you go into PushPay, it allows you to set up a recurring gift so that automatically, however often you set it to be, whether it's every week, every 2 weeks, every month, that gift is made without you ever having to lift a finger so that you don't have to think about it. And when you pull out your phone, some of you have asked me, how do I use the QR code? If you pull out your phone and you use the camera app on your phone, you aim it at the screen,
you'll see a link pop up. And when you click that link, it'll take you to PushPay. You'll enter in your information. You only have to do that one time to set it up. And then after that, you can go directly to either the PushPay app or the My Church app, whichever you prefer, and you can set up your recurring donation. And so we encourage you to do that. If you want to give $25 a week, $25 a month, however you want to do it, whatever amount you can give helps us to build God's kingdom so that we can partner with ministries all around the world for missions, and so that we can do special projects here in the church to expand our capacity to minister to the world around us. And listen, if you need help setting up your gift, if you're not quite sure how to use PushPay, or if you would feel just a little bit more comfortable if you had some assistance, you can come and see me. You can see any of the pastors on staff, or you can go to the Welcome Center in the foyer. There's always a team there ready to assist you with whatever information that you need. And if they don't know how to do it, they can certainly connect you with someone who can. Just thank you for giving to Kingdom Builders. Thank you for your generosity, for all that you do as a member of this community, because we believe that God wants to use us to make a difference.
Come on, Kingdom Builders. So if you have any questions about Kingdom Builders, if you have any questions about PushPay, again, feel free to come and ask. We would love to help you. We encourage you to do that as often as you feel God calling you to, so that we can bless the world. And we are going to give you a giving opportunity now to sow into the kingdom with your tithes and your offerings, and to give to Kingdom Builders. You can use PushPay. The QR code is right behind me. Just aim your camera at the screen. If you're watching online, just click the link in the comments section or in the description box. If you're giving by cash or check, please include your email in the memo line, and you can make your way forward at this time to drop your offering in the buckets. God bless you as you give.
Good morning, church. Could you all stand and worship with us?
A thousand generations falling down in worship, sing the song of ages. All will believe, we'll sing the song.
Praise the Lord. Come on. How many of you know we serve a holy God? Come on, guys. We serve a holy God today. Hallelujah. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Come on, how many of you are thankful for the Holy Spirit this morning? Hallelujah. We exalt you, Lord, high among the heavens. Be exalted today. We exalt you in this place today. God, have your way among us. Move in these aisles. Move in these hearts. Move through these pews, Lord. God, move even on the internet, God, the television camera. God, in every capacity, touch your people today. Worthy are you, Lord. Worthy are you to receive honor and glory, dominion and power. In Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's people said a hearty amen. Amen. Come on, why don't you high five somebody before you're seated? Come on, welcome them to the house of the Lord today. Thank you, worship team. Hallelujah. Thank you guys for leading us into the presence of God. Well, such a great day to be here. Hallelujah. I saw a gentleman this morning for 42 years ago. That's a long time, isn't it? 42 years ago. This young man played the trumpet in my wedding, and he's here today. He came. I didn't recognize him. I'm sorry, David. But we interacted there, and 42 years ago, he played the trumpet on July the 12th, 1981. David Stevenson, God bless you, man. Hallelujah. Next time you come, bring the trumpet, okay? Bring the trumpet. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Good to see you today. Patricia Ferguson, Dr. Ferguson, good to see you this morning. God bless you. Hallelujah. So good to see everybody here today. Amen. Come on, just turn and smile at the person next to you. Show them your teeth, y'all. Or show them where your teeth used to be. Come on. Hallelujah. Amen. Show them where your teeth used to be. Hallelujah. Don't take your dentures out or anything, please. Praise the Lord. Wow. You know, I was thinking this morning, I'm so thankful. I was just looking at everybody doing their ministry and people passing by and cameras. And it takes so many people to make Carpenter Shop International Church what it is. It takes a lot of people. Would you give it up for our back line today? Come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. All across the back, in the balcony, in the camera room, production room. And if you'd like to get involved, you may say, well, I don't like to speak in front of people or say anything. There are things that you can do, you know. Today, think about it. Today, this ministry gathering, 182 nations of the earth will experience this service today. Can you believe that? Hallelujah. That's huge. And so we're grateful today. So if you'd like to get involved in that capacity, helping us to execute from the backside, just get in touch with one of our staff, and we would love to have you get involved. It's great to see you. Great to see you. Let's just sit in his presence for a second. We value these moments when the Holy Spirit just kind of hovers. I was thinking about that imagery Pastor Noli was talking about this morning. It's the imagery of a mother hen. She stretches out her wings and she gathers her chicks beneath her. The Spirit of the Lord hovering upon his people. And so in that presence, you know, the Bible says there's fullness of joy, but in that presence, there's also healing. You know, if you need healing in your body this morning, we're going to have a time at the altar at the end of the service. If you're sick in your body or you're going through something, maybe you received a diagnosis that you're not happy with, we believe in the power of prayer today. And listen, we believe God heals, amen? And so please make sure you get to the altar. We've got oil, we've got faith, we've got people to make connection. And if you're here today and you just need, you know, maybe you're going through a crisis or something in your life and you say, Pastor, I just need somebody to agree with me. We're here today to meet with you and to encourage you. I love Carpenter Shop Church. Come on, y'all. I love this place. It's just beautiful. It's beautiful. It's a great picture of what heaven's going to be like. Praise the Lord. Well, I want to continue our series today, Beyond Impact. Next week, I'll be preaching a very powerful message. I want you to think about this now. I'll be preaching a powerful message next week on a crippling spirit. Okay? The Bible says there was a woman in the Bible that she was crippled. She was bent way over. And the root of that crippling spirit was what? Not a car wreck, not an injury or an accident, but the root of it was what? A spirit. Okay? How many of you know that there are spirits that are trying to manipulate and control people's lives today? So listen, be praying about next week, okay? Be praying about that. I'm going ahead and giving you kind of a just an infomercial to be prepared for just bondages to be broken. If you know somebody who's ill, if you know somebody who's crippled, you know somebody, you know, maybe they say, well, I don't even know how this happened. Bring them to church next week. Amen. Let's believe God to set people free. Amen. Bring somebody who's an addict. Bring somebody who's strung out on drugs or some other thing. And just bring them. Let's believe God to break. Somebody say break. To break addictions next week in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're talking about Beyond Impact, the second part. I'd like to continue that series. What happens after revival? I have to be honest with you. I find myself still encouraged by the impact meetings. How many of y'all just remember the last week of January? Come on, it's just kind of embedded in your heart and your mind. How many of you would say, Pastor, it did something for my life? It made a significant difference and influence in my life. When we convened here, seeing and hearing the impact that was experienced by many of you. Revival is the process, here we go, of bringing something back to life and vitality. That's what revival is. Bringing something back to life or to a place of vitality. Impact, as we defined it in our first message, is the strong effect or the influence that something has on a situation or a person. That's an impact. An impact, a huge impact. And let me say that as a leader, there are certain characteristics that I'm seeing, certain characteristics that I'm experiencing that to me qualify the impact of the meetings that we had together. And not just the impact meetings, but even last Sunday. How many of you remember last Sunday's meeting? Come on. The women's weekend. God made an impact on our women and our men, and we appreciate that. One of the things that I say that I see that qualifies that this series of meetings had on our lives is hunger. Hunger. I see hunger in people. It's the pastor's greatest dream fulfilled to see people who are hungry. Nothing any more discouraging than to open an altar and nobody come. Come on. You know what I'm talking about? You've been in the pulpit before and you say, hey, every head bowed, every eye closed. Why don't you just come and join me at the altar? And you look up and nobody's there. There's no hunger, Hersey. But I see hunger in the house. I know what hunger is because I grew up in the country, y'all. Okay? I grew up at Grandma's house. Come on. Phillips Street, Hertford, North Carolina. Grandma made cat head biscuits. Big as a cat's head. And when she finished them up, you know, we finished up dinner that day, she would say something like this. You youngins ain't even eat a mouthful. What? How do you spell mouthful? Come on, y'all. Help me here. You ain't even eat a mouthful. You know what I'm talking about? Well, it's really M-O-U-T-H-F-U-L. You haven't eaten a mouthful. No, Grandma said mouthful. Okay? You ain't eat a mouthful. She wanted her kids to do what? To eat. And eating was a sign that showed up on us. Come on. Eating was a sign that you enjoyed the food, right? And so she was satisfied with nothing less than, here we go, hunger. Hunger. So I understand that. Grandma wanted us to eat. And then she would take those biscuits, the ones that were left over. Y'all can get an image of this, those of you that are my age. She'd throw them on a little basket in a dish towel, y'all. Got to have that dish towel underneath. And she wrapped them biscuits up. And in the middle of the day, there's where your honey bun was, y'all. Come on. Because she had a big old jar of grandma's molasses, and she'd stick her finger down in there and pour that thing with molasses. Eat your heart out, little Debbie. Grandma was doing that long before you ever thought about it. Okay? Hunger. I see hunger in the hearts of God's people here in this church. Motivation. I see motivation. I see people seem to be motivated by deeper participation. Attendance. Can I just tell you very, very gladly, I stepped into the Bible study last week back at Pastor Frank's in the far end, and I looked and over half of the new members from last Sunday who joined the church were sitting in Bible study. Come on, y'all. Over half of the new members sitting in Bible study. Altar participation. Now look, and the altars are filling up with people desiring to draw close to God. You know, to come to the altar, you don't have to be a wretched person, okay? To come to the altar, you don't have to be a lunatic. To come to the altar, you don't have to have open, blatant sin in your life. To come to the altar is just to say, Lord, I just want to get in your presence for just a few moments. The altar is a place of surrender. Lord, there are some things that I still want to just surrender to you because I want to be with you, God. I want to be in your presence. So I see that. I see people participating in the altars. What a powerful thing. And then, of course, I have to say there's an increase in newcomers to worship. I see faces this morning that I'm not familiar with you. So hopefully I can run to you at the end of the service and say, hey, what's your name? Who's your daddy? Come on. What's your name? Who's your daddy? Y'all have me born living in the 70s and the 80s, don't you? Come on, just laugh. Just laugh. It's just true. But I see newcomers, I see new faces, and that's a good thing because that means that you are doing what you should have been doing all along. You're inviting new people. Statistics tell us that people will come to church if you invite them. Amen? And then, of course, the last thing that I see that qualifies a move of the Holy Spirit is I see opposition from the devil. Amen? I see it. I've experienced it. I mean, the devil has always opposed the work of the Lord, and guess what? He always will oppose the work of the Lord. And I can see clearly that the adversary has reared his head to try to bring distraction, dissension, confusion, the spirit of nitpick. Come on, y'all. The spirit of nitpick. How many of y'all know what that is? People get nitpicky about stuff. Well, Pastor, I just think. Okay. Well, just keep thinking, okay? I'm glad you're able to think. But we get nitpicky about stuff. We want things our way. We want things just like I want it. Can I just tell you, there's a house full of people right here this morning that want it their way too. Okay? And this is a variety church. This is a diverse congregation. And everybody can't have it their way. Amen. Your best answer might be Burger King. All right? It just might be Burger King. I don't know. But listen, I see that. I see those things begin to surface. And a lot of times it just happens in the midst of a move of the Holy Spirit. Come on, y'all. I'm just being honest with you. I'm your pastor. I'm going to tell you the truth. And I've seen those little contentions try to break out and rise up. And that's a clear sign that God is doing something. The enemy has always opposed the work of God, but thanks be to God, Jesus said it well. John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said this, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. And let me tell you, the full life is a life transformed by the power of Jesus Christ, revived by the work of Jesus Christ, and impacted by the work of Jesus Christ in their life. And in the last message, we shared that impact results in two things. A conviction that leads to repentance. Okay? What is it that God is convicting you of right now that you know is not aligned with God's plan and purpose for you? Do you keep on doing it? Or do you say, Lord, I just need to get this off my plate. I just need to align myself with your plans. Because that's where blessing is. If you stay in misalignment, then that's where the cursing is. Come on, y'all. You curse yourself by just not following God's plans and purpose. Conviction leads to what? Repentance. What is that? Salvation. That's salvation. And then secondly, we see that an impact causes what? A desire for the fullness of the Holy Spirit. That's Holy Spirit baptism. There are two major results of the impact that God makes on our lives. Salvation is that work of redemption in our lives where we repent of our sin, we receive Jesus into our heart, and our lives are forever transformed. Paul said it like this when he wrote a letter to the church at Corinth, 2 Corinthians 5:17. He said, if any man be in Christ, do yourself a favor one day, look up every place where the Bible says in Christ. What a study. In Christ. In Christ is walking the line. In Christ is a pretty tight life, okay? If you look up in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And if guess what? So the assumption is what? If you're not a new creature, if you're still doing the things you've always done, then maybe you're not quite as in Christ as you thought you were. Hello? Hello? Come on, let's talk. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. It's then that the Holy Spirit comes in, here we go, and takes residence in our lives to do what? To change us. So if you're a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit within you. Are you getting this? Come on, let me help you here. Some people are, you know, sometimes Pentecostals can be rude and crude and just hard to get along with because they want to think that they're a notch above non-Pentecostals. How many of y'all know Pentecostals like that? Come on. They just think they're a notch above. But let me tell you something. When you come to Jesus Christ, whether you've ever spoken in tongues or not, you know what you have inside of you? You have the Spirit of God taking residence inside your life. Don't you allow the devil to think that you're some second-class Christian because you have yet to speak in tongues, okay? You have the Holy Spirit, somebody say, in me, okay? Are we clear on that? You have the Holy Spirit within you. But you need to be continually renewed in the Spirit and know that the inner residing of the Holy Spirit, here we go, is for you. Somebody say, it's for me. The inner residing of the Holy Spirit is for you. But God has something else in mind. He has a resting of the Holy Spirit upon you that is not for you. Who's it for? It's for other people. I want to teach you something this morning. Listen, I've lived my entire life as a Pentecostal preacher these last 40-plus years. And sometimes you just can't adequately explain the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Somebody says, well, hey, you said I need to receive the Holy Spirit in baptism, but I thought you also said we got the Holy Spirit when we came to Christ. You do. And I've told you this before from this pulpit many times in days gone by. You need to be continually filled and filled and filled again. In fact, if you study the book of Acts, you will see that the believers were not only filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, but they were also filled where? In other places. In Ephesus, they were filled with the Holy Spirit again and again and again. You know why we need to be filled again and again and again? Because we leak. Okay? I've taught this before on a Wednesday night. We leak. If you don't think you leak, pick up the TV remote and see what you watch. If you don't think you leak, check out the reels on your cell phone and see what you've been watching. Some people say, I wonder why that's showing up on my phone. Because you looked at something like that before. Okay? How'd that get there? You tell me, okay? So we need to be filled and filled and filled again. That's why it's important for you to be here. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Today is a day of empowerment. Today is a day of impact. Today is a day of inspiration. Today is a day where you can come into the presence of God with people of like precious faith. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Why? Because the Lord is good. His mercy endureth forever, and his truth shall be to all generations. You're here today to be inspired in the Holy Spirit. And so tomorrow you got to go back to work for those pagans. You got to go back into the workplace, punch the clock, and do business for the world. And some of you are fortunate enough to work for godly people. That's a wonderful thing, okay? That's a wonderful thing if you work for a company owned by born-again folks. It helps, don't it? But you're still under the curse of what? Work. You got to work. Work, work, work. All right? And so you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's where the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes in. Salvation impacts your life. Holy Spirit baptism impacts others' lives through you. Let me say that one more time. Salvation impacts my life. That's where the Holy Spirit comes in, regenerates, renews who? Me. But I need the touch of the Holy Spirit. I need his empowerment. I need his baptism. I need to go down into the baptism, not of just water, but of the Holy Spirit, because I want my life to be so empowered by the Spirit that other people receive an impact from my life. Are y'all hearing me? I want you to notice the language here in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. I've read this all my life. I've looked at this all my life. I've studied the tension between filled. You know, somebody asked me one day, Pastor, you say we need to be filled with the Spirit. Well, I became a Christian 10 years ago, and you said the Holy Spirit is in me. How do you divide the Spirit of God up in percentages? How much did I get at salvation? Are you here? Are you with me here? Because if you say I need to be filled, when I got saved, did I get like half? Are y'all here? Are you hearing me? No, you got everything you need at salvation. You got everything you need at salvation. Here we go. For you. Let me say it one more time. You got everything you needed at salvation with the Holy Spirit for you. But he wants you to be filled so much, not for you. For who? For them. Come on, y'all. For other people. Look at what it says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power. That word is translated dunamis, dynamics of the Holy Spirit. You shall receive the enablement, the power, after that the Holy Spirit, what? Comes on you. Okay? So you're saved. The Holy Spirit is where? In you. But then what does he want to do? He wants to in an awesome fashion, he wants to every day of your life come upon you. And you shall be witnesses. What's that word? Well, in the original language, it's where we get our word martyr. You shall be my what? My witnesses. You shall receive such a touch from the Holy Spirit that you'll be able to stand for Jesus Christ even if your life is at stake. Ask Cassie Bernal, who was in the Columbine High School shooting, who hid behind a stack of books or a shelf of books and got under a table in the library. And she was tucked up under there when the man in the trench coat came to her and said, "Hey, do you believe in God?" And she boldly said, because she was a witness, "Yes, I believe in God." And he pulled the trigger on the gun and killed her. But she would not deny Christ. Why? Because the Holy Spirit came upon her to say what? Yes. Are y'all getting this? Are you getting what I'm saying? Come on, that's right. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Not for you. Cassie had everything she needed for herself. But she was able to say yes boldly to the opposition in front of her who was carrying a gun. And she still said yes. You shall receive the power after that the Holy Spirit, I underscored it here for you, comes upon you. And you shall be my witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, New Living Translation. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. So the Holy Spirit's for who in this case? For others. So that you can tell other people about him everywhere. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. So there's the Holy Spirit taking residence inside of you again for you. Then there's the Holy Spirit coming upon you for others, for other people. That's the dunamis. That's the dynamics. That's the working of the Holy Spirit in you. But for other people, to witness, to tell, to pray, to lay hands on the sick, to cast out demons. Whatever you run into in Walmart or the marketplace or food line or on the job, that's where you need the enabling power of the Holy Spirit. People see me all the time in public sometimes. "Hey, Pastor, hey, don't forget, pray for me. I'm going into surgery on Thursday." I just dawdle right over there and say, "Wait a minute, I'm not gonna do that. I'm right in the middle of aisle 4 food line, okay? I'm going to say, hey, Father, in Jesus' name right now, go before my sister. She's having surgery on Thursday. Father, I'm asking you to go before her, be her rear guard, be the glory, the lifter of her head. I speak healing over her today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Be Jehovah Rapha to my sister today. Amen." Right there, right there. Why? Because I'm going to forget it on Thursday. I'm not going to think about her on Thursday. Why? Because I saw 40 other people that said the same thing. Okay? And you do too. So be spontaneous. Have the power of the Holy Spirit upon your life so that you can do ministry when? Right then, okay? Do it right then. Let the power of the Holy Spirit come upon you. and give you the dynamics, the workings of the Spirit for other people. Remember, Jesus had already breathed on them. I love this passage. We mentioned it last week, John 20, verse 22. The disciples here are recipients of what? When Jesus breathed on them, what did they receive? Salvation. Well, wait a minute, I thought they had to go to the altar and shake the preacher's hand. No, that's your mindset. That's your mindset. The Bible says in John 20, 22, and with that, he breathed on them, and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. And what happened at that moment, the Holy Spirit came inside of them and was resident in their lives for regeneration, for renewal, for salvation. This is the disciples' salvation. Okay? See, we got these church ideas. We got all these churchy ideas as the way it's always supposed to be. Did you say the sinner's prayer? Where's that at in the Bible? Where's it at in the Bible? You're not going to find it. I mentioned it to you a couple of weeks ago. The thief looked over to the other across the way. There's another thief on the other side. He said, hey, Lord, when you come into the kingdom, hook me up, bro. Jesus said, I got you. Wasn't the sinner's prayer, was it? But what was it? A repentant heart. Okay? You can say all the right words and not mean it. You can say all the right words the right way, repeat after the pastor, and still go to hell. Because it's really about what? Repentance. This is salvation for the disciples. Okay? Receive the Holy Spirit. And that was their regeneration. That was their salvation. That was the Holy Spirit coming inside of them for them. Then they followed the command of Jesus when he was about to leave the earth. He said to them in Luke 24, verse number 49, I'm going to send you what my Father promised. But stay in the city until you've been clothed with power. That word is dunamis, dynamics. Stay in the city until the Holy Spirit comes on you for other people. Okay? Are you getting this? Are you seeing what I'm saying? So Peter and John were among those who followed the command of Jesus. They went to the upper room. The Father sent the Holy Spirit, and the wind blew and the fire fell. I love the songs this morning. Every one of them just correlated with what we're preaching today. The wind and the fire. Come do it again, Lord. Do it again. Come down on us. That's what they were saying. Come down on us. Beautiful job today. He came down upon them, and guess what? They were impacted for other people. Okay? They were impacted for other people. That's why when they went to the temple the next day, their perspective of the man, listen, they went to the temple every day, 6 o'clock in the morning, noonday, 3 in the afternoon. They go to the temple several times a day to do what? To pray. And when the baptism of the Holy Spirit came into play, they didn't stop going to the temple. They got up the next morning and did the very same thing they've always done, but their perspective changed. This time they didn't just see a begging man. This time they saw a man who needed to be healed. So they go over to him and say, hey, partner, silver and gold I don't have, but what I have I give unto you in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk. This perspective of the disciples changed because now they have the power of the Holy Spirit. Here we go. Upon them for other people. Come on, y'all. Give the Lord praise. That's what he wants to do with your life. This is not just for preachers. This is not just for evangelists. This is for everybody in the church to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. We should see a town like this. It's crazy. 5,000 people in a Husky. We should see a town like this absolutely torn upside down for Jesus Christ. There shouldn't be an empty seat in this place today. And if the church was doing her job, there wouldn't be an empty seat in this place today. We got to get busy, guys. Folk are going to hell in a handbasket. Folk are going, dying and going to hell every day without Christ. And you've received Christ into your life and you've been filled with the Holy Spirit so that you can help others join you on the journey to heaven. You can't take anything to heaven but other souls. You can't take a thing. You're going to leave everything you got behind. The only thing you can take with you is the salvation of other men. Amen. Peter and John saw this man a little different than just a begging man. He was a man who needed to be healed by the power of God. I told you this story probably, I've been here long enough that I've told stories so many times. But I was walking to a country store one day, and I saw this guy, got out of a vehicle I was running in to get a loaf of bread or something, and I saw this guy just doing this struggle. And I thought, man, I mean, it's going to take him forever to get to the door. So I just went over to him. I said, hey, I said, obviously, man, you got something going on here. He said, yes, I do. I said, what happened? He said, I got in a terrible accident several years ago, and he said, it's maimed me for life. And he said, but I get there after a while. And he just had an oppressed look about him. He just had a blanket of discouragement across him. Can you imagine how it is when people just drive up and hop out, leave their car running, run in, run out, and he's still trying to get to the door? You know? So I said, hey, man, I just want to pray with you. I just said, I just want to pray because you know what? I believe God heals. And I just laid my hand on him. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak healing, God. I speak healing over this brother's joints, his bones, his ligaments, his sinews, everything about him. God, I speak the healing virtue of Calvary over his body in Jesus' name. He began to cry, and I said, tell me what's going on in your heart right now. He said, I've been coming to this store for 2 years. You're the first man that's ever prayed for me. Friends, let me tell you something. It should not be that way. It should not be that way. We have the ability to see the needs of people. Why don't we just go up and go there? Okay, obviously you have something going on here that I don't, so can I just pray for you? And so what happens is when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, your perspective about other people begins to change. Here's a man who needed to be healed by the power of God. It wasn't for them, it was for him to be a recipient of the power of God. Silver and gold we don't have, but such as we have, we give it to you. This man was healed. The Bible says he jumped up and leaped around, and he ran all over town like a gazelle deer. And he was so excited to be healed. The Holy Ghost had come upon them for someone else. That's the impact of the Holy Spirit upon them. And it continued. In fact, just because this man was healed, what happened to them? Go to jail. Go directly to jail. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. This is a monopoly right here. You're going to jail, bud. They went to jail. They are jailed. Why? Because a lame man was healed. In the name of Jesus. That was really the clincher. Healing was one thing, but they did it in Jesus' name. So they throw them in jail. Man, that'll stop them, right? You won't have to worry about them laying hands on nobody else, right? Come on, right? Wrong. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 30, Acts chapter 4, verse 29 to 31. They come. The jailer now comes and says, okay, you're free to go. And he takes his keys and he unlocks the cell, and they come out. And the Bible says that they join hands. They go together to the prayer room, from the jail room to the prayer room. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand, Lord, to heal and to perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And the Bible says after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. What are you saying? When you're serious with the working of the Holy Spirit, he will enable you. He will show up. He will show off. He will move with power in and through your life for other people. Come on, somebody. He'll do it. He'll do it. And just because somebody says you can't, man, don't tell me I can't. It just makes me want to say I can. I can. I can pray for people. Pastor Joy and I were in Elizabeth City one day last week just running an errand. We rounded the corner. We had our little basket full of stuff. We were getting ready for the women's conference, and they had to have a few door prizes, what have you, and we rounded the corner, and there's a lady. And we stopped and chatted with her, and that chat turned into a half an hour. And that chat turned into Nui using their chairs that were for sale. We sat down. I sat down there, you know, because I'm the guy, you know, I just want to find a seat, right? And I'm sitting there, and we just started talking and carrying on about the things of God. Tears began to flow. We just turned that little TJ Maxx store into a Holy Ghost prayer meeting right there in Elizabeth City, North Carolina. And so guess what? It wasn't long for it. Yeah, somebody told Pastor Joyce, said, hey, I heard y'all had a prayer meeting over there in Elizabeth City. You know, noise travels, right? The news is shared. People hear about good things happening. Listen, don't you ever pass up an opportunity to just lay hands on someone who needs a touch from God right in the grocery store, right in Walmart. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if they say, man, I'll tell you one thing, you better stay away from a Husky if you don't want to get sidetracked. You go into Walmart there, man, Holy Ghost going to catch up with you because carpenter shop people are in there and they're laying hands on the sick and people are being recovered. That's what we ought to do. Can you imagine the noise that would be scattered abroad if this church got so on fire that you can't even go buy your groceries for being used by God? Come on. That's what God wants to do. Somebody say impact. That's what God wants to do. When Jesus breathed on them, it was for their salvation. But when they went into that upper room, the Bible says the Holy Spirit came upon them. There came a sound from heaven as a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And then there appeared cloven tongues of fire that came and sat on, notice what it says, each of them. Okay? You say, I wonder what that means. Well, I'll help you here. When the temple was built, Solomon built that temple. After he dedicated that temple, the fire of God came down and consumed the sacrifice. And you know what the Lord was saying? The Lord was saying, you know what, Solomon? I am pleased with this temple. The fire of God comes down. Can I tell you something? On the day of Pentecost, when they were in there doing what Jesus had commanded, go into that upper room. They were seeking God for the promise. They didn't really understand it, but they were there for hours. They were there, and the Bible says the wind came and the fire fell, and the Holy Spirit was saying to them, I am pleased with my temple, because the fire of God came down and settled on top of them. It was the same thing that had been pictured in the old covenant, beloved. God was saying, I'm pleased with my temple. You see, in the Old Testament, God had a temple for his people. But in the New Testament, God has a people for his temple. He wants to dwell inside of you. The living God wants to dwell inside of you and use you for his glory and for his honor. That's what God wants to do. Jesus breathed on them. It was for salvation. But when they went to that upper room, that was not just for them. It was for other people. You and I must come to the understanding that this is God's plan. He saves us. He fills us that we might be his feet, his hands, his voice to the nations. John 14:12. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these. Why? Because I'm going to the Father. I'm going to pour out my spirit upon the people. Jesus modeled all these great works while he was here on this earth. He opened blinded eyes. He raised the dead. He straightened withered hands. And he's trusted these works to us with the earnest of the Spirit of God. The third impact. It's funny because in this message I preached, and I'm only giving you the point when I'm getting ready to close the message. Here's the point. Remember I said the first thing was we experienced salvation. The second, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The third impact is that revival produces the great desire for you and I to evangelize and to share the good news. See, people seek tongues too much. I just want to speak in tongues. Then go to the college and take Spanish. Don't esta la pluma. La pluma está sobre la mesa. Come on, go to the college and learn Spanish if all you want is a language. You're not seeking a language. You're seeking power. You're seeking Holy Ghost power. I promise you, if you get in God's presence long enough, tongues is going to sneak up on you. Okay? You may go through all the O, A's, M's, E's. I don't know, no telling what's coming out your mouth. Okay, when you get into God's presence, just let him have his way. And the Holy Spirit will come. The Holy Spirit will come. Revival produces the great desire for us to evangelize and share the good news. Here's a bold statement. It might hurt some of your feelings. If it does, I don't care, really. If you have been filled with the Holy Spirit and you say, well, I speak in tongues all the time, and you're not winning souls to Jesus and never do anything to point anybody to Jesus Christ, I question the validity of your experience. Do I need to say that one more time? I said, if you're out there speaking in tongues and shouting and hollering and everything else, and you don't ever share the gospel or lay hands on the sick or minister to people, then I question how much you've been filled. I question the validity of your experience. Because the baptism in the Holy Spirit points people to Jesus Christ. God is always setting you and I up to share our faith. There are countless opportunities, day in and day out, for you and I to share our faith. At work, in the marketplace, on the plane, beside the pool, on the golf course, no matter where you go. It's the plan of God that should be, here we go, lifestyle for you. Lifestyle. I think I'm going to get me a t-shirt printed up, and on the front of it's going to say, here we go. Should be lifestyle for you. That you're assigned today. When you go to work tomorrow, Monday morning, Lord, how do you want to use me today? Lord, I pray that you'd set me up with divine appointments. And put people in front of you so that you might witness not only the peace of God, the presence of God, but the transforming power of the Lord. Here's the example of Jesus giving us an example of him at the well. He meets a woman at the well who went there for the purpose of what? She went there to draw water. Now Jesus learned. Listen to the story. Why don't you just shut your eyes? Just close your eyes. Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. Although, in fact, it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea and he went back once more into Galilee, and now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. And Jesus was tired from the journey, and he sat down by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, hey, would you give me a drink? His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, you're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How is it that you would ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. And Jesus said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with, and man, this well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well, and he drank from it himself, and as did also his sons and even all of his livestock? And Jesus said, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them, here we go, a spring of water welling up. Do you have that spring today? The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. And Jesus said, well, why don't you go call your husband and come back? I don't have a husband. Jesus said, you're right. You've had five. And the man you're living with now is not your husband. Shame on you for doing that. Why have you just said what you've just said? Jesus said, is quite true. The woman said, sir, I can see you're a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but the Jews claim that the place where we must worship is Jerusalem. Woman, Jesus said, believe me, a time's coming when we will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you don't know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, Jesus said, and now has come, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they're the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know that Messiah, called the Christ, is coming. And when he comes, he's going to explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. Just then the disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with the woman. But no one asked, what do you want, or why are you talking with her? Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back, check this out, went back to the town and said to the people, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Come see a man who looked into my heart. Come see a man who knows everything about me and still loves me. Come see a man who has quenched my thirst. Can I just tell you, there's a lot of thirsty people in this town. There's a lot of thirsty people who just want to take a drink. And you pass by them every day with a cup in your hand. And you're busy. You're too busy to stop. You're too busy to pray. You're too busy to deal with some unusual spirit. You're too busy to, I don't want to mess, get tied up with her. Oh, you and I must be about our Father's business of sharing the living water. This world is so messed up. It's almost really kind of depressing to even watch the news. This world is so messed up. It's not caught God by surprise. He knows what's going on. And despite all the chaos and the confusion, the manipulation, the corruption, can I just tell you this morning that Jesus Christ is still the living water. Come on. He's still the living water. Would you stand this morning with me as the worship team comes? Would you stand? Could we just find a place to come on, just gather into the altar this morning? If our ministers would come, our pastors would come, people on the prayer team come, just gather quickly. Could you just come and find a place? You know, there's a lot of needs here, like I told you in the beginning of the service. If you're here today and you might have a need in your body, why don't you just tell someone, hey, I'm here. I'm here for prayer for my leg, or I'm here for prayer for my back, or I've got a son who's on drugs. My daughter and her husband are having tremendous marital problems, or whatever you got going on. Can we just turn this place this morning into a prayer meeting, just a time where we can petition the Father and watch him release the amazing power of the Holy Spirit upon his church? Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I just need my relationship with Jesus renewed. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I don't understand it all. But all I can tell you is I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want the Spirit to come on me. I want the Spirit to come on me. Come on, just find a place to pray. Step out of your seat and come. Stand at the altar of God today and worship him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We exalt you today, God. Come on, lift your hands and love him. Just lift your hands and love him when you get down here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, sing it, guys. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah.
In the keeping of your promise, faithful friend of God.
Thank you, Lord.
May I love the presence, Jesus, more than any gift you've given me. More than any crown I could receive. More than all my.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let it be
your eyes on
move me. By your spirit, God.
Every time I catch your
move pain, by your spirit, Lord. Move. Hallelujah.
I don't have
give me sensitivity, God. Open my eyes that I might see the needs you place in front of me.
I could have anything,
open my ears. Let me hear that person that feels downtrodden and discouraged. Hallelujah.
Let me be like David. I'm convinced by power or by idols, yes. And worshiping in triumph and in trial, a faithful friend of God. Oh, may I love this feeling more than reputation or prestige, oh, and more than what
fill us afresh and anew, Lord. Fill us afresh and anew with your power, Lord. Fill us afresh and anew with your ability, Lord, your dynamics that will enable us, God, to touch a lost world, a dying world, a confused world, a crippled world, a world that needs, Lord, to be transformed by you. In the name of Jesus, give us a fresh infilling of your presence and your power. Hallelujah. Equip us, God. Cause us to look closer. Cause us to hear clearer. Cause us to be watchful, God, of those that you place into our path. We're the salt of the earth. We're the light of the world, Lord. We proclaim that today. A city set upon a hill doesn't hide. But But we're available, God. Use us. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be empowered by the Spirit of God. Thank you, Lord. Get your blessing today. If you need to be prayed for, step out of your seat. If you're going through anything, if you believe in God for anything, step out of your seat. Let God touch you today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
My life is not my own. To you, wonderful message that we had today. A challenge, actually, haven't we? We're glad, Carpenter Shop family, that you're here today, and our guest also. Guests, remember to step back at the foyer there in our lobby. There's a welcome center. Please stop by there and get a gift that we have for you, and allow us to get your name and just, who's your daddy? All right, let's pray together. Thank you, Jesus, that you have given us salvation, that you've given us your Holy Spirit, Lord. And as we grow closer to you, Father, you allow us more strength, more power, and even a boldness, Lord, that we can share that with others. Lord, giving them the opportunity to have the same things that we get from you. Lord, you are a loving Father. And even through difficult times, and even when we don't understand, Father, we place our trust in you. Thank you, Lord, for the hope that you've deposited in our bodies. Lord, for the love and the encouragement that you give us daily. Lord, for our family here. We give you praise. We give you honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.